You ready for the Cubs game, Bill?
Yeah. Is it starting now?
Nope.
No, 7:08. First pitch, 7:08.
Yeah, that's my area code.
That's a good sign. Wendy, I've adjusted the lineup. I'm going to have Kyle Schwarber bat second, I just decided. So put Kyle Schwarber in the two hole.
I think Joe Maddon agrees with you.
Yeah. Oh, is he on board with that?
Oh, okay, come on. Ryan Burrow just walked down here and told you that, Mr. Schmarty
Pants.
Oh,
I thought you heard it in my news.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I like it. You know, it might give him an extra at bat tonight, and this is a guy who could hit the home run anytime he feels the need. So, yeah, put him in there. Let him bet second and fifth.
Change it up.
I want to know what Rich Lankoff thinks. That's really all
I care
about.
If only we could talk to our legal counsel, Rich Lankoff. Wait a minute. He's here. Hi, Rich. How are you?
What a segue from the Schwarbaum to me.
I know.
Not sure I could hold up my end of it.
You
but
could hit a
I'm
home
follow-
run anytime you batted to.
It definitely.
You can. Rich, there's several things we want to talk to you about, but most notably this, the Bill Cosby case, a strange case to begin with. Now, tell us what we need to know about what happened today.
So right now we're in the middle of a probably a two-day hearing in Montgomery County. This is, of course, Bill Cosby's criminal trial, the only trial that he's faced with. Right now, the hearing is about whether the prosecutors can introduce evidence, basically what's called prior bad act evidence. They want to introduce two things. They want to introduce, number one, his deposition testimony that he gave in a civil case about 10 years ago. That will probably be let in. In that deposition, he admitted to giving some drugs and alcohol to this accuser.
He has admitted that?
In the deposition, he said it was consensual,
but he still admitted
that he gave her these things. But the more controversial part of the hearing is whether the prosecution can introduce evidence of 13 of his other accusers in the criminal trial in this case. So that's really what the hearing is about. And, you know, generally it's a well-established rule that you can't introduce prior bad act evidence.
Can or cannot?
You cannot. The idea being just because, for example, someone may have robbed a bank in the past doesn't mean that he robbed the bank in this case.
Yeah.
You know, you could like or dislike that rule. That's generally the rule. So in this case, the prosecutors are trying to introduce evidence that he did this to 13 other women as evidence that he did it to this woman. His defense is, of course, arguing that that violates the prior bad act rule. And statute of limitations, right? Exactly true. The idea is, you know, that they're trying to sort of, you know, gerrymander those crimes into this one. Those crimes are barred by the statute of limitations, as you're referencing. But in essence, his attorneys are arguing that the prosecutors are trying to have 14 trials in one. So generally, that's not something that should be allowed. There is an exception, however.
Rich, if all this information had come forward 15 or 20 years ago, prior to the statute of limitations being up, would he stand trial for each of these women's cases individually, back one after another? He would have, right?
You know, he could have, of course, if there was enough evidence to support bringing those cases, if the prosecutors in those cases, in those jurisdictions, felt that there was enough evidence. But sure, the only reason right now he's only facing one trial is because the statute of limitations has expired in all but one of these.
Yeah.
So the exception in this case, if you're interested in that, is you can introduce prior bad act evidence if it establishes a really specific modus operandi, an MO that is a signature of the defendant. So the prosecutors are arguing right now in court that these specific acts were basically his signature, and as such they should be introduced as an exception to the prior bad act rule.
Is this ever going to go to trial?
You know, it's currently scheduled to go in June of 2017, so we're, you know, a few months away. But his attorneys are really, you know, putting a full court press on. There's been a lot of motion practice, a lot of attempts to keep out evidence. So, you know, whether the June trial date is a go, who knows? Depends on how a lot of these motions go.
And there was a while that his attorneys were pleading our sympathy and saying, you know, he's an older man right now. He's going blind. Let's go easy on him. Does that make a difference?
Blind men, older men should still, you know, face criminal charges, obviously. That was something we saw here in Illinois in that Denny Hastert case.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of argument that he was old and in a wheelchair, and the U.S. attorney, you know, quite appropriately, in my opinion, said, even old, you know, even old men in wheelchairs have to face justice. So they have attempted, Bill Cosby's attorneys have attempted to use his advanced age of 79 and the fact that he's blind.
Yeah.
Only 79. Boy, he's aged.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a little older.
Yeah.
You know, they've literally said that he can't see his accusers, like, you know, literally can't confront them. But, you know, so be it. I mean, the fact that he's has some health difficulties doesn't mean he should be shielded from prosecution.
If Bill Cosby isn't Bill Cosby, if he's just a guy, he's not a celebrity, does any of this play out differently?
I think so. I mean, it's a great question. You know, the former prosecutor in this county in Pennsylvania where he is standing trial had decided that this same evidence that we're, you know, dealing with now was not enough to prosecute. There was an election and the new prosecutor was elected on the platform partially of prosecuting Bill Cosby. So if he was Bill Smith, would that be an issue in that election? Obviously not. Would there be this much time and attention devoted to it? Probably not. You know, this case either would not have been prosecuted or might have played out much earlier. Yeah. The fact that, you know, it's a high profile case, maybe the highest profile defendant ever accused of, you know, rape, or certainly one of them. You know, you think of Mike Tyson, a couple others, but Bill Cosby's right up there. This probably wouldn't be this far had it not been Bill Cosby.
Did you see, and Wendy, I haven't even talked to you about this because you've been gone for a few days, but over the weekend, Tippi Hedren came out, the actress Tippi Hedren from the movie The Birds.
Birds.
And said that she was sexually assaulted by Alfred Hitchcock.
Which has been out there forever. I mean, haven't we heard those stories?
Yeah, it's been alluded to, but I don't know if she's ever come straight out and said, here's what happened.
Right.
He took advantage of me, and this is what happened. Now, Alfred Hitchcock is no longer with us. All you're doing at this point, of course, is bringing up a very, very checkered past for a guy who there have been allegations about for years and years and years. But with Bill Cosby's case, it's a little bit different because he's still among us. He's still alive.
Right. I mean, he's still subject to prosecution. I mean, I think, you know, the good news, in my opinion, for a lot of these cases, Tippi Hedren, you saw recently last week, Clarence Thomas, another accuser, came out and accused him of groping her. Clarence Thomas, of course, the Supreme Court justice. You know, you're creating an environment, certainly the Trump accusations, hopefully, of women coming forward.
Yeah.
Now, certainly the defendants have the right to stand trial or face their accusers. But, you know, we've had Gloria Allred on Legal Face-Off a couple times last week. You know, she leads a lot of these charges. So I think it's a good environment when women can now come forward, even though, you know, many years has passed.
All right, here's my question. You bring up Donald Trump, and I didn't really want to get into it, but it's been brought up, these women who are accusing him, and he says, absolutely false, not happened, I'm going to sue them. They'll find out, won't they? I mean, you can't just, I know people do make accusations and say that they've had issues with someone when it's not true, but people check these things out. Can't you figure out if it's true or not?
You know, the problem with that is, you know, as Bill Cosby's attorneys, for example, have stated, with the passage of time, obviously the ability to confirm some of the accusations, you know, dissipates as memories fade. As physical evidence goes away, you know, there's DNA testing, but that is not as reliable as time progresses. So, you know, a lot of it comes down to whether you believe the credibility of the accuser versus the accused.
Right, right. Rich Linkoff is here. We're talking about the law. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Rich Linkoff is here. He's our legal counsel. Overworked, many people say, because of all the hours he puts in for us, fighting our battles. We talked
Speak
about the
for yourself. I don't have any legal battles right now.
Not currently, not today. We talked about the Bill Cosby case. Rich, if you wouldn't mind, let's comment a little bit about this clerk in Markham who was kind of pretending to be a judge, even though going to specifics
was it Halloween?
With me. It was not Halloween. The judge was aware of this. The judge was overseeing this, right? What happened?
Yeah, you know, my kids sometimes dress up as judges. We have these mock trials. But,
sure.
Is that what you do at the Linkoff House?
It's really fun to put my kids through a mock trial. It's a blast. Yeah, this is a clerk who worked in the Markham Courthouse. Her name is Rhonda Crawford. who is actually a candidate to be an elected judge, mm-hmm. coming up here in a few days. She won the Democratic primary, and she is accused of, in fact, has admitted to wearing the robe of the judge that she clerked for. The judge's name is Valerie Turner, and actually hearing cases.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this is a clerk. This is a licensed attorney, but certainly not a judge, who is on the bench wearing a judge's robe, hearing cases. And at least in three of the cases, she made rulings and wrote on the ticket. Now, yeah. minor cases, but nonetheless, these are actual cases that probably, if you're not a judge, you probably shouldn't be acting like a judge.
Right.
So there's been a lot of fallout from that point.
Did she wear a trainee badge? You know, a lot of times you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress will just say trainee.
Yeah.
Was she doing that?
Judge in training.
Yeah. yeah. There was no.
Here come the judge.
There was no such sign.
No, you have to put a sign up.
Right. In fact, you know, there was discussion during the court call about congratulating her on becoming a judge. She talked about probably going to sit on the criminal bench when she was elected. So there was a lot of discussion, including among the bailiff and the judge about her being a judge. And at no point did she come on and say, "Oh, by the way, I'm not a judge.
Right.
So maybe you should stop referring to me as a judge."
Right.
So,
The actual judge was there kind of overseeing this, which makes it even stranger.
How does that happen?
The judge, Valerie Turner, according to the allegations, was introducing her as a judge, made a big announcement that we're going to switch judges now and let Crawford come in.
Right.
Let her
go to the bullpen.
Right.
Go to the left-hander.
call for the closer.
Yep.
So the judge is now on medical leave, I think independent of this. Has not faced any criminal charges, but is subject to the Judicial Inquiry Board. So, yeah, a lot of shenanigans going on there in the Markham courthouse.
That's weird. All right, and there's another story in the news about hot cars. Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, the prosecution in the case involving a 2-year-old toddler who was left in his car by his father in Atlanta and subsequently died from hypothermia. Prosecution rested late last week, and the defense is now presenting their case. It's going on right now. The prosecutors are alleging that this was intentional, that his father purposely left him in the car when he went to his job at a Home Depot.
In a full 8-hour day.
Yeah. Well, at one point, he came back to the car at lunch. Prosecutors say that he, you know, should have known that his kid was in there. He says that he was only putting some light bulbs, opened the door, threw the bulbs in. There's been some evidence introduced of him sexting with a minor, also visiting some websites. But, you know, frankly, from following the case now for a few days, I think it's in its 18th day. The prosecution case is actually pretty weak. You know, for example, they allege that he visited a website that dealt with how to, you know, be free from fatherhood. It was actually something that someone sent to him, and he replied that that's gross. So the case is a little shaky. Right now the defense is putting on their case. They just put on an evidence. A real estate agent, who said that the father was contacting him about getting a condo in a good school district. The point being he was looking at a future with his son.
Yeah.
So horrific case, obviously, all the way around. The question is whether the father is guilty of
it. It is horrific. And, I mean, no one believes that person, and it's hard to. But people make mistakes, and people, I don't remember his defense was he thought he already dropped the kid off at daycare or something.
Correct.
I know you say, how can you forget that? But I'm telling you, people forget things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've seen some other cases similar, not to this extent. You know, one of the key pieces of evidence is it was only about 2 minutes between his house and the daycare. So it's, you know, that's a pretty short period of time
right.
to forget. But yeah, I mean, listen, certainly parents, there are examples of forgetting kids in the backseat. To this extent, you know, over several hours hot temperature, that seems a little odd.
Yeah.
Whether there's enough to prosecute, you know, we'll see.
Very
wow.
Scary.
Insane.
Tough case.
Rich, thank you very much. If people want to hear you, the best way to do that is?
So we're on Legal Face Off. This is a podcast on WGNplus.com. You could follow us on Twitter. We've got a Facebook page, WGNplus.com. We've got, you know, pretty good guests coming up this week. We've had Gloria Allred on, who represents some of the Cosby accusers. This week we'll be covering this case. We'll be covering some celebrity news. There's always some, you know, good celebrity lawsuits that we cover.
What'd you do, Lev?
I didn't do anything.
Bill's always a good source of content
Zero.
For us. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank
Rich,
you guys.
We appreciate it.
That's
Rich Lenkoff. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.